Let me ask everyone, what does the Bible primarily teach?
The Bible primarily teaches what man must believe about God and what God requires of man.
Oh, very, very well done. Keep working on those. Let's turn in our Bibles to Psalm 19. We read this text last week as well, but let's reread it. Psalm 19. In particular, verses 7 through 11. Psalm 19, verse 7, the word of the Lord. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. Now let's go to the prophet Isaiah, chapter 55. In Isaiah 55, at verse 10, the prophet writes, "For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I send it." Now let's go over to the New Testament and to the text that we used last week as well, 2 Timothy, one we should all memorize in regard to Holy Scripture, 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 and 17. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you as we read this testimony in Holy Scripture regarding itself. And we thank you that your word is self-attesting. We thank you for its authority, and we thank you, Lord God, for its sufficiency in all things. And we pray that we would understand more of that this evening as we continue in our catechism study in these first questions regarding the authority of your holy word, and that we might understand its value and what a precious gift it is to us. We give you praise and thanksgiving now and pray, Lord, that we might be truly grateful people for all that we have in your word, as we ask it in Jesus' name, amen. Nearly every town in America, or at least in the panhandle, and for the most part Texas, has a what street? Main street. A main street. What is Main Street? Well, it's that street that runs through the center, through the middle of town. It's the primary street. It's the major, the principal thoroughfare. The street from which you take other streets in town to get to your destination. In fact, one of America's former great pastimes was cruising Main Street. Main Street was where you saw people, where you made all kinds of connections. And most of the directions that you either gave or received included Main Street. Well, first you go south on Main, and then you go west on 8th Street. And if you come back to Main, you know you've gone to... You know, they always included Main Street in the directions. Well, the Bible has a Main Street. And this is what the third catechism question is asking this evening. What is the Main Street in the Bible? What is the Bible primarily about? What is its main topic? Now, in the older version of the Westminster Shorter Catechism, this question is, what do the Scriptures principally teach? What do the Scriptures principally teach? Now, kids, let me ask you, what is a principle? What is a principle? Ever been to school that had a principle at it? At school, the principal is the one who is in charge to make sure that all the subjects are properly taught, that are fully taught to the students. Well, the Bible has some principal topics, leading topics that govern, that make sure that all the other topics are kept in line and are truly, fully taught, and that all the topics correctly connect and eventually always get back to Main Street. Now, a Main Street has how many sides or how many lanes usually? Usually two. It's usually a two-way street, two lanes of traffic. Well, the Bible's Main Street as well has two lanes. First, there's the information lane. And secondly, the expectation or the obligation lane. Now, before I tell you about each side of this Main Street, there's not a real clear double yellow line in the middle. In other words, both sides of the street often look exactly alike. But what's important in the Bible is staying on Main, not necessarily which side you're on at any one time. Now, the first one I referred to, I called the first lane the information lane, because that lane tells us what to believe about God. The Bible informs us. The Bible is full of tremendous information. We call it revelation about God, about man, and the world. It's really a book that's full of information about all things. The Bible, in other words, has thousands of side streets. But the primary information it gives us is what we should believe about God. In John's Gospel, for instance, in chapter 20, at verse 30, John writes, "Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in His name." Everything that the Bible gives us is so that we may believe the truth about God. Now, the Bible also teaches us truth. In John's Gospel as well, in chapter 14, At verse 25, Jesus says, "These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." Jesus there is talking to his disciples and talking about the Spirit bringing to their remembrance everything that Jesus, the living Word of God, taught them so that they could write it down for us. So that we have their testimony about all that Jesus says in this Word, in the written Word, consistent with everything the living Word taught. And then, of course, also in John's prayer in John 17, I think is that the text that Kevin was preaching from this morning. But in that great prayer, Jesus prays that the Father would sanctify, that is, set us apart, make us different in the world. How? By the truth. And there in that prayer, he says, "Father, your word is truth." The Bible teaches us the truth of God. And so God has given us His Word so that we might know the truth, that we might have and hold the truth, that we might believe the truth about Him, about who He is, that we might believe the truth about God's identity, His character, and how we can have a right that is a good relationship with Him. How we can know Him as our Heavenly Father, not only as our judge or perhaps even as our enemy, but as our Heavenly Father. We could also call this same lane, the doctrine lane. The Bible is a book of doctrines, meaning instruction or teaching. The Bible is filled with God's teaching, God's instruction for our living. Now, one more thing about this lane before we look at the other one. This lane teaches us what to believe about God. Now, the concept or the idea of belief in the Bible is much fuller, it's much wider than we usually think today. And we'll be looking at that later in the catechism, question and answers as well. But at least to begin with this evening, we need to understand that the Jewish understanding, the Hebrew understanding of belief, was not just what you think in your head. It was not only about ideas. It was not only a matter of mental activity. So believing was not just cognition, not just what's taking place between your ears. But belief, according to the Hebrews, always included volition, what you do with what's going on between your ears, your will, what you do, your actions. So in the Bible, belief and behavior are never divided. Now, they may be distinguished, but they are never divorced. They're not separated, according to Scripture. In other words, when you really believe something, you always act on it. You live it out. James says in his letter, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says." That's a Jewish concept of belief. Believe it, so do it. In fact, there's a very interesting text that's always been fascinating to me in John, 1 John chapter 1, where John talks about believers, he says, doing truth. Believers are those who do truth. Not just agree with truth, but do. They act out truth. And so true, real belief includes commitment. It always involves putting your life at stake. Now, I asked Ben to help me with a little illustration of that. You've seen it before, a lot of you, but it's a good reminder. Could you come up here and help me with this, Ben? And also Adam, he's going to help me too. I asked Ben to help me illustrate what the Hebrew idea of belief is. Because Ben believes that Pastor Brack will catch him if he falls backward. Isn't that right, Ben?
Yeah.
You believe that. He believes that. Okay, I'm right here. You can hear my voice, can't you?
Yeah.
Okay. Now what Ben's going to do, he's going to fall backwards, and Pastor Brack is going to catch him. And Ben's not going to look backward. He's not going to move his feet. He's going to keep his knees just tight together, and he's just going to fall, and he's going to believe that Pastor Brack will catch him. Right, Ben?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it. Oh! He almost stepped back. Now, you believe me, right, Ben? Okay, let's do it again. It's a lot easier the second time if you believe me, right?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it again. Oh, that's good. Okay? Now, one more time. That's easy.
Right.
Belief is easy.
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it one more time, okay? Here we go. Believe me? Okay? Fall. Oh. Okay, let's just do it one last time, okay? And this time your brother's going to help you, okay? He's going to hold this right here on the ground. Okay, like this. Can you hold this right here, Adam? Okay, you see this fork, this real sharp fork here? It's right here on the ground, okay? Adam, would you hold that? Adam's laughing about this. Okay, Ben, do you believe that I will catch you?
Yeah.
You really do?
Yeah.
Okay, look out that way. Okay, you ready? Believe me. Let's go. Ah! No, I'll stop you. I don't trust me. I don't believe me. Okay? Thank you, boys. Appreciate it. Way to go. Way to believe. When the Bible, and we really, really have got to get this through our Greek-conditioned heads and get the Greek notion of belief out of there and get the Hebrew notion in there. When the Bible talks about belief, there are always dangers below. But you go anyway if you believe. You put your life on the line if you believe. You trust God that way. So the information lane, the doctrine or believing lane in the Bible is not just about knowing things in your head, but it's about living. It's about doing the things that God reveals in His Word. Walking the talk, we say. Now, the other lane I've called the obligation or the expectation lane. Because God made us, when He made us, because He made us, He has the right to put certain or specific obligations on us. Simply because He is the Creator. And we know, as we've talked about the last few weeks, that God designed us for very specific purposes. And He expects His creatures to fulfill or accomplish those purposes. And the Bible makes God's plan for us, His intentions, clear. What He requires or demands of us. That's clear in Holy Scripture. And this lane is a reminder of what we've really already considered in Catechism questions 1 and 2. The Bible teaches what pleases God and how we can please Him. You know, the Army has used a slogan in their recruiting, "Be all you can be." In other words, reach your potential. Well, the Bible is mankind's greatest recruiting or training manual. More than any other source or authority in the world, it teaches you directly from God how to be all you were created to be for His glory and your greatest joy. That's why the Word is so important. We need to become daily commuters, daily travelers on the Bible's main street. We need to become super familiar with it, comfortable on it, aware of all the corners, the intersections in it, all the road signs, all the other streets that cross it. We need to learn the basics of the Bible, the fundamentals of the Christian faith, the doctrine of God, the doctrine of man, the doctrine of salvation, the doctrine of the church, all of those doctrines. And we will be learning them, going through them step by step as we make our way through the catechism. That's why we often refer to it as a map. It shows us all the intersections that connect with Main Street. And to do this, we have to spend time, if you will, cruising Main. We need to get the basics straight. In fact, maybe some of our children haven't thought of it before, but the name of our church, the name of our denomination, is the Orthodox Presbyterian Church. And orthodox simply means straight teaching. We are the Presbyterians who believe in straight teaching. Teaching the way that is straight according to Holy Scripture. Moses said, "Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it." Elisha said, "Hear the word of the Lord." David said, "Lord, I have hidden your word, God's word, in my heart that I might not sin against you." David said, "I delight in your decrees. I will never neglect your word." Jeremiah said, "O Lord, when your words came, I ate them, and they were my joy and my heart's desire." Jesus said to us, "Remember the word I have spoken to you." Now, years ago, when I was a young Christian, I came across this, and I know many of you did as well. But the Navigators, a parachurch group, a discipleship ministry, the Navigators came up with a great illustration to urge us to become better Main Street Bible people. It was simply the picture of a hand. And each finger on the hand represented one of our responsibilities, our obligations toward God's Word. They were read the Word, hear the Word, memorize the Word, study the Word, and the thumb was meditate on the Word. In other words, the thumb enables you to grab all those other things that you're doing, so that you can grab on to the truth that you're learning as you read and hear and study and meditate on the Word of God. And as you do that, you are letting the Word sink deeper into your hearts, minds, and souls. Now, parents, particularly fathers, my admonition to you would be, don't let your children get lost on all of the side streets in town. Make sure they are totally familiar with Main Street. Make sure they know Main. Fully aware of what they must believe about God and what God requires of them. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, you are so good to us to give us such a glorious means by which we may know you and know the truth about you and know all the glorious information that you intend for us to know as your children. And we pray, Lord, that you would help us to be those who truly search your word diligently, that we may believe it with all that is within us. And Lord, that we may understand what that belief means as we put it into practice, as we live it day by day. Thankful for the privilege of believing you, our great and glorious God, our Savior God, who has loved us and sent his own Son to die for us. We praise you for that. In Jesus' holy name, amen.